4 minutes after 11 o'clock. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. Ready for a jam-packed Thursday. I mean, just trying to keep up with everything that's going on after signing day yesterday. More discussion, I suppose, about Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. We'll have Zach Stevens join us a little bit later on in this hour. This hour is going to be nuts. We have Kevin Lytle going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. I believe he's at Moby Arena right now. They've got kind of a youth day going on before the women's game gets going. So we'll be looking forward to catching up with Kevin. We're going to have UNC head football coach Ed Lamb on the show coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Very much looking forward to that. He kind of stuck to his word as far as recruiting locally. And I think that's exciting. I think you should be excited about that because that's where the Bears are at this point in time. Like, if we ever get primetime on, I'm not even going to bother asking him what he thinks of local recruiting. Because they are going to go after the best players in the country. That's what we're seeing right now. 2 5-stars and 4 and 7 4-stars for Colorado. For UNC, it's going to be, all right, how'd you do locally? And that's how you start to grow, hopefully kind of growing a fan base too. I think he did it the right way. A lot of time you hear coaches, you know, well, I've only been around with this show for 2 UNC coaches before Ed Lamb, and that was Ernest Collins Jr. and Ed McCaffrey. So we'll talk, you know, when you talk about that, it was like, oh, do you really value that? And they'd say yes, and they'd get a few. But yesterday felt like, oh, this is really Ed Lamb going after it. So, my poll question today, available at thewholeshow.com, I wanted to gauge kind of our listeners and where they are on the excitement factor throughout the area. So, I want to know, which football team in Colorado are you most excited about for next season based on all the news that we've had in the past couple of weeks? The Broncos, obviously, they've got a lot to be excited about. New coach Sean Payton teaming up with Russell Wilson. The Buffs, Coach Prime. Don't have to say much more than that. Everything that comes with it. The Rams, Jay Norvell entering his second season. Or the Bears, Ed Lamb takes over with an in-state focus. Those are kind of the stories around these teams right now. I have a lot of Rams followers, Angel. So it's not a big surprise that the Rams are leading this, 32%. Then it's the Buffs, 25%. Then it's the Broncos. Then it's UNC. I mean, it makes sense when you look at the markets and when you look at my listenership and all that. That all seems to make sense. But if I'm telling you, I am really intrigued to see what Jay Norvell does. I'm not like in this giddy excitement that I was last year. With this four air raid and all the coaches were going out to the field and doing videos and getting people pumped up and all that. That was cool. But right now we've tapered off of that. Not to say that we're not still pumped up and very happy with Jay Norvell and his coaching staff. I mean, not very happy, but you're happy. First year wasn't what you wanted it to be, but it's to be expected. But right now I've kind of got this calmed. It's a calmed down version of excitement. It's kind of just like, all right, I like this staff. I hope it works out. Now we get to see what happens with them. I mean, in the Buffs, it's all excitement right now. Every single thing that's going on down in Boulder is exciting. And the Broncos, I'm not against the Sean Payton move. I said it a lot yesterday. I wasn't necessarily for it, but Angel, I don't know that I'm ever for the coaching decisions. Because you just don't know. Like I said yesterday, Gary Kubiak, I was excited for because he was a Bronco. Because he was the offensive coordinator under Mike Shanahan when they won their Super Bowls in the late 90s. That's why I was excited. But outside of that, I mean, Mike Shanahan was the head coach of the Broncos for most of my life. Leading up to 2008. So then when the hire was made to get Josh McDaniels, was I excited about it? No. Was I down on it? No. And then the move to get, John Fox? I mean, a 10-win kind of guy. I wasn't over the moon excited, but I wasn't upset. You just don't know until you know. You don't. And that's, I mean, I know that sounds like a cop-out or whatever, but it's such a crapshoot to see what, and I've been around covering this stuff for too long to say that, oh, just because it's Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, it's going to work. But I'm here for it. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait until we get into training camp. Looking forward to it for sure. But am I the most excited? So, and Ed Lamb, I mean, I'm pumped for what they're doing locally because it's everything that I've said over the years that UNC needs to be doing and needs to be focusing on. Are you going to go with UNC? You're going to go with UNC. They're going to go undefeated.
No. I'm not saying that.
Close, though. Close.
I mean, I'm very optimistic, and I'm very impressed with Coach Lamb and his staff, and everyone was on the same page about their recruiting, about what the plan is. He talked about there's not going to be a school in Colorado that won't know UNC.
Which is what we have to do, because I know that Ed Lamb, maybe he's thinking of this, probably not, but it is a marketing tool as well. Because you are marketing to families in the area to try to get them invested in the University of Northern Colorado. So this kind of move for UNC is twofold. It's, yeah, you're looking for good players that can come and help your team. But you're marketing to the state saying, hey, we have a Division I college football team here, and we want the best players in the state to play here. And we want your following to come here. We want your family and your friends and alumni to come here to watch. It was a monster mistake back years ago with Austin Ekeler. And he's still bitter about it. The fact that Austin Ekeler did not put on the blue and gold is a crime. Just absolutely ridiculous. And I have insight to that because I wasn't doing this show yet. I was doing preps games with Clark, and I'll never forget, Angel. Clark and I are doing the game in Eaton. Austin Ekeler was doing everything. He was returning punts. He was punting. He was kicking. He was throwing. He was running. He was catching. He was doing everything. Probably could have went on the defensive side, too. Maybe he did. I'm drawing a blank on that one. Probably did. There was a UNC scout there, and the guy got up at halftime and looked at Clark and said, I'll listen to the rest of the game on the way home. You're a scout. And Austin Ekeler is one of the best running backs in the NFL. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I saw that coming. I have a hard time evaluating stud high school players that are good. Is that going to translate to Division I football? And then good Division I football players, is that going to translate to the NFL? I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm this deep scout. But I am going to tell you that Austin Ekeler was that good, and he should have been playing for UNC. And even if he went to UNC, I couldn't have predicted that he was going to be an NFL stud. Mitch Unrein, I don't know if he had any calls from UNC on that. But I'm just looking at local guys that went on to play big. Trent Sieg went to CSU. But, you know, you're going to lose that battle. I get that. So that's where I want to see the Bears go, is this, we're going to find diamonds in the rough a little bit, because Colorado's not anywhere near the Floridas and the Texases and Californias when it comes to high school football. I get it. But you do have studs here. Is it reasonable to believe there are, what, 13? Isn't that how many guys he got from Colorado?
I think it's closer to like 14, 15.
Okay.
We're still waiting on like four or five more to officially commit.
So it's fair to say there's easily 14 guys. There's easily 20 guys in the state that are really good football players. Really good football players. Division I. And yeah, if I'm Ed Lamb and UNC, I'm saying Deion's going to ignore those guys. And I'm not knocking him for doing that. I've never been overall the kind of guy that's like, oh, you just got to get local for the sake of getting local. If it doesn't make sense to what your goals are, then no. So for CU, I think they got a few Colorado kids. But I could care less if their focus is on Colorado, because they play in the Pac-12. They play against higher caliber talent. So they need to go find those guys. And if they can find him in Colorado, great. But if they're not here, don't just get him because there's a Longmont attached to his name or a Greeley attached to his name. So it's different. For CSU, you kind of want to see a little more of that than CU. But again, I'm not married to that. With UNC, that's the plan right now. Now, if the Bears get to the point where they're winning titles, they're winning Big Sky Conference championships, and they're in the playoffs, and then suddenly the expectation is there, and they're attracting bigger names, okay, yeah, you can put Colorado somewhat to the side. I still think there's always going to be that focus here for UNC. But this is how you build. You got to find different ways to build your program. In the world of NIL and transfers and just the overall, how competitive college football is, you got to find a way to build and build a network and build a fan base. That's what I think UNC did big on. So I know they're only getting 17% of the votes. I get it. It's Ed Lamb is not Coach Prime. He's not Sean Payton. He's not Jay Norvell, who's got this magnetic personality, just this great personality. Ed Lamb's just a kind of a good dude, maybe steady Eddie. I think I heard on the coach's show, maybe it was the coach's show, whenever it was. He's like, it was my guy David telling me this. Like in the interview process, he's like, are you a yeller? Do you get out? He's like, I think I've yelled like three times, like flipped out three times, and I felt bad about it every time. You're not going to get that big, overwhelming personality with Ed Lamb. You're just going to get who seems to be a really hard worker. So we were trying to get him on the 12 o'clock hour, Angel. You want to know why he couldn't come on at 12?
Is he planting asparagus? Oh, he's working out.
Busting it.
There you go.
Busting it. Just
what are we doing?
Yeah, well, I'm not busting like Ed. But I like doing that, and I appreciate that. So I was like, can we get him on at 12:30? And it's like, it's his workout time, and he's staying with that by the book. And that, I love that. I'm gonna ask him about it. Remember in the press conference, he said, I'm running with these guys. I'm working out with these guys. And I joked, and I was like, what if you beat some of these guys? He's like, that's a bad thing. Like, if he's out benching the middle linebacker, got issues. So I'll be curious to see what the trend shows us with the guys they're picking up. Because, again, Jay Norvell's here for a second season. You clearly saw the hole that they needed to fill. You saw what they needed to fix. Offensive line. Ed Lamb, I think at this point, and I'll ask him, it just seems like you're about getting bodies, getting guys in here. And if you can get a lot of them from Colorado, excellent. Because, I mean, I'm seeing it all over the board, Angel. I mean, you got wide receivers, you got offensive line, defensive line. There's, just looking at it, there's no real theme to it, And that's normal for guys starting out with a new program.
Yeah, and he had talked about it a little bit in his press conference yesterday about they wanted to hit their immediate needs. So offensive line, defensive line, and wide receiver is where they were really focusing on. But also quarterbacks, defensive backs, linebackers, stuff like that. He said 60% of the class is from Colorado. He wants to get 70% of the class there. And I think he can.
That's a phenomenal thing. What was it last year? Do you know offhand?
I have no idea.
Like, what was it under Ernest Collins Jr.? It wasn't 60 to 70%, was it? But look at this. You got Fountain, Colorado. Greeley, Colorado. Reese Pratts. I know we've had him on our broadcast before.
Big time.
Castle Rock, Denver, Longmont, Centennial, Colorado Springs, Inglewood, Johnstown, Dominic Buttes, is that how you say it?
Butts.
Is it Butts? I wanted to be polite.
They got a Butts and a Cheeks.
Hey, who was the player for the Broncos? Jake Butt? Nothing wrong with having the last name Butt.
I just need them on the bench together for a picture.
So I'm sure Clark said that name a lot. Out of Johnstown. Parker, Aurora, Arvada. I mean, it's great. It's fantastic. Great work. So I'm gonna excited to talk to him about that. It's 18 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on Joe. I don't have time to do the good, the bad, the ugly right now. I don't have time, but I just want to throw out FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFK. We got Kevin Lytle coming up next, and then we have Zach Stevens coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we got to move here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're talking it all, man. We're the only sports talk show in the state of Colorado that's going to give you Broncos, Nuggets, Armies, Avalanche, kind of. UNC, CU, CSU. I mean, we're hitting it. And let's do it today. All right, we'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice. It's the whole show live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So Monday night, we're going to have a late night of basketball. I think I've got the morning crew, except for Brian. He's, you know, sleepy at that time. Morning crew's coming out, so that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. So we got late night Monday night. Kevin Lytle's taking in some early basketball with the women's side of things. Kevin, my man, how are you from the Fort Collins, Colorado?
Doing great. How are you, Brady?
I'm good. This is kind of a big event. I got buddies of mine that are texting me with kids, and they're like all over there at Moby Arena with the kiddos and stuff. So it was a pretty cool event leading up to the game, right?
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. You know, obviously it's kind of funky to have an 11 a.m. Thursday game, but it's basically field trip day for Pooter and Thompson school districts. There are, I think, 90 school buses full of kids here.
Wow.
It's like 5,000 or 6,000 students at the game. And obviously it's really cool. You know, they have a ton of energy, a ton of noise, all of that. And, you know, for a lot of these kids, it's the first time maybe they've been on a college campus. I think for, you know, a lot of them, first time going to a college athletic event. So it's a really cool thing. And, you know, obviously it's the biggest and loudest crowd of the season, too, because Moby's almost full. I'll admit I bought earplugs on my way over here because there's a lot of screaming, but really, really fun thing. And the kids obviously have a blast. A really cool event that CSU puts on. This is, I think, the third or fourth time they've done it, but by far the biggest.
Oh, I was just getting ready to ask you, like, if that was a regular. That's so cool. I think that's awesome, and for these kids to see it. But if it's, like, I mean, a little extra chaos, I wonder, obviously the Rams aren't having a hard time. They're up, what, 25-15? They're not having a hard time staying focused.
Yeah, I mean, for the players, it's cool, too. I mean, you're playing a completely full arena. Again, the kids absolutely love it. They, you know, they may not necessarily know you know, all these players or, you know, maybe the ins and outs of the game, but they're having fun. You know, they know who to cheer for. So for the, you know, CSU players, it's really cool too, because, you know, it's always fun to play in front of a high energy crowd, kind of no matter who it is. So it's just really a fun event for everyone. I think it's, you know, a classic, you know, win-win across the board.
Well,
except for Utah State, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they can't overcome the power of children filling up Moby Arena, man. It's
yeah,
really
exactly.
Moby madness today, isn't it?
It really is.
CSU, what, up 27-17? I just looked at the box score. McKenna Hofschild's already got, what, 10 points to start this game? So no big surprise there.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of business as usual. And, you know, obviously we're talking about the event itself, and that's really cool. But for, you know, the team itself, they kind of need to get back on track. And so far, so good. And kind of a perfect day to do it.
Yeah, they lost the last three games. So need to get back on track. Hopefully can hang on and finish off the second half against Utah State. Kevin, big day yesterday when it comes to signing day, or the second portion of signing day and such. Now, I think you and I've had these discussions both on and off air. I don't sit here and look at names and pretend to go, oh, that guy's good. Oh, that guy's good. I typically look at, are you filling needs? What is the star next to their name? Maybe where they're from. You know, if they're in Colorado, that's cool. But that's kind of where I go with it. And it does seem like Colorado State went after the offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, we basically talked all during the season and after the season that had to be the top priority. And, of course, it was. You know, obviously the staff knows much more than us, and it was clear to everyone that was number one priority, and they've done it. You know, they signed 10 different offensive linemen. It's a combo. Six are transfers from various levels, everywhere from Division One down to FCS and down to JUCO. So you have a little bit of everything. So a lot of guys have played a lot of games, and then four high school linemen as well. So a mix there. You know, refill the room. Hopefully create some competition and, you know, fill out the classes. Because last year, the O-line, it was all either seniors or freshmen, which that's not a great recipe. So they've kind of balanced it out now. You know, how will they perform on the field? You know, it's certainly too soon for us to say. And you know, even the coaches, obviously, they have guys that they like, but you don't really know until it's all pieces together. But they brought bodies in; they're all big. I mean, I think I said the smallest O lineman they signed was 6'4", 275. So if that's your small guy, it's a pretty big group.
So, Kevin, when you look at the rankings and everything, and I don't know, some people put a lot of stock into it, some people don't. Where do they rank kind of like overall and then maybe throughout the Mountain West Conference too?
Yeah, so the thing I always say with rankings is, you know, for an individual player, like it's of some interest, but very hit and miss individually. But as a group, year to year, again, maybe one year doesn't matter that much, but you need to stack classes. It's not an accident that Boise State tends to have the best ranked class, and guess who tends to be the best team in the league? It's Boise State. So that's where you look at it. And CSU ranks really well. You know, overall, I think they're, depending on where you look, about fifth best among Group of Five programs, and pretty much everyone has CSU second in the Mountain West behind Boise State. So that's a really good place to be at. Again, you need more than just one class to do that. You need to start stacking those. But that's a really good place for be kind of a starting point for this, you know, Norvell and staff.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And it is an interesting contrast just looking around. You know, the three teams I really focus on for the most part, CSU, UNC, CU, three totally different ways of doing business right now. I mean, you've got CU. Obviously, Deion Sanders is attracting some pretty big names. UNC is saying, hey, we got to go local. We got to try to build a fan base, too, and try to get the best in the state if we can. And then CU is like, all right, we can kind of just pick where we need to fill our spots. So it is interesting to see the contrast between those three teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, technically, they're all kind of playing the same game. But in reality, it's pretty much three totally different things they're trying to do, especially in recruiting. So, yeah, it's a whole, you know, totally different world from each one. And, you know, for each of their respective levels, you can kind of understand how and why they're doing it the way they are, and how it could work. Again, TBD on if it did. Obviously, you know, both CU and CSU, I think most people rank them quite well. You know, we'll see down the road, but you're right. It's funny. They are very, very different in how they're doing it.
Yeah, no question about it. But again, I don't know. I made this weird comparison a couple of weeks ago with you, Kevin. It's like the tortoise and the hare between CU and CSU. It feels like, yeah, CU's the hare right now. They're looking fast. They're getting ahead. Maybe they're messing around a little bit. CSU, and I'm not trying to knock CSU by saying that, but it just feels like they're going steady. They're doing what they need to do. They're filling the positions of need. And maybe it's not sexy when you get a ton of offensive linemen, but it's much needed. So I don't know if that comparison works or not. It's not a knock on CSU, but that's just what keeps going through my brain.
Yeah, and some of it is just down to timing. You know, CSU was kind of in that chaotic, you know, a lot of transfers last year because, you know, Norvell had just been hired, and when you're hired in December and need to fill a class basically immediately and you have a bunch of holes to fill, you know, the transfer route is, you know, often the best quick fix. And that's obviously where CU is now. I think that will be their plan longer term. Deion's pretty much said that, whereas CSU wanted to pivot back more toward high school, and we've seen that. So some of it's just timing. But, yeah, that definitely is sort of the, you know, I think a fair way to look at how these rosters are, you know, were put together this offseason.
Kevin, last one for you, and I know we're going to team up here for Rams Weekly later this afternoon to dive more into this and basketball, but on the hoops side of things, oh, boy, that was a rough one the other night for the men's side going up against, what, UNLV at home. That was one of the more, I don't know, one of the more disappointing, I hate to say efforts. I don't like to question guys' efforts, but just one of the more disappointing performances I've seen with CSU in a while.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the right way to put it. You know, I don't really think this team's had an effort issue all year. They've had a performance and execution issue pretty much all year. And, yeah, that was another one. Yeah, you know, Jalen Lake got hurt during it too, so we'll see where he's at. But, you know, that's the last thing this team needs is another injury. It's just, I mean, this is turning into the season from hell. Just one thing after another, no consistency. You can tell the frustration is just mounting with everyone, players, coaches, everyone. And yeah, just frustrating, disappointing, all, you know, all those kind of sad adjectives you want to use apply to this team in the season right now.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, I'm going to let you get back at it. I know they're jumping into halftime. Or are they? Where are they? Close to halftime there and Moby getting close? Or no, they just started the second half? What's that look like?
We're in the second quarter, I believe.
Second quarter, but yeah.
I obviously had to duck outside. If I'd been on this call in the middle of the gym, no one would have heard a thing, which, you know, maybe would be better for some people, but it's a little too loud to talk on the phone in there.
Well, it looks good so far as the Rams start in the second quarter, 6-0 right off the bat. So 33-17. Kevin, my man, we'll let you get back in there with the Rugrats, man, and be careful in there. Those kids, they're shifty. They can be scary.
Yeah, sounds good. It'll be a fun rest of the morning before heading over for Rams Weekly.
All right, my man. Looking forward to it, as always. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And I do sometimes forget, Angel, I do, that women's basketball is just like regular basketball. It's four quarters. It's not two halves, which I like better, by the way, because that's what the NBA does. Make it like the NBA. Do you like college basketball, like men's basketball, doing halves as opposed to quarters or periods or whatever?
I mean, I don't have like a strong opinion of it. I think it is weird that you play 3, 4, 5 years of college basketball with halves and then you switch to the quarters. I don't know. It's kind of fun because if you're like trailing bad at 10 minutes, you're like, okay, well, this is our halfway point anyway, so let's close out this next 10 minutes.
I guess it's not really that. It's literally just the difference between a timeout. You know,
take a timeout at 10 minutes.
Yeah, take a timeout at 10 minutes is basically the same thing. It's a mental thing, Angel. 33 minutes after the hour, Broncos talk. We're talking to Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, I've had a couple of days to think about the Sean Payton stuff and him being named the next, 19th head coach of the Denver Broncos. But it does sound like we were talking a little bit about the possibility of Vic Fangio coming back to be the defensive coordinator. It does not look like that's going to happen. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. An interesting week, my friend. Certainly an interesting week.
An interesting week, Brady. Oh, my goodness. You're downplaying it, my friend. But finally, it's over, Brady. It's over. And now the defensive coordinator position talk begins.
Zach, right then, I just picture you with, like, your eighth cup of coffee, a couple of cigarettes in, and you're like, it's over, man. We finally made it. I haven't slept in days, but it's over.
Oh, man. I'm so happy that it's over. And you know what? Some people are asking the question, is it really over? He hasn't signed his contract yet. And Brady,
okay.
I'm here to just squash that right away. Don't worry about it. This happened. It didn't happen with Nathaniel Hackett, but it did happen with Vic Fangio, where they announced it was reported by everyone that he was going to be the head coach. And then I want to say it was like 72 hours until it was officially announced by the Broncos. There was no concern back then. There's no concern now. It's going to be done. And as we're seeing this morning, Greg Penner, Condoleezza Rice, they're out playing some golf, which shows you just how confident they are that this deal will be done. But I would not expect an official press conference to be had until the beginning of next week. So, again, do not be worried about it not being officially done. It is.
Yeah, well, okay, good. Because right when you said that, I was like, oh, here we go. We got more juice to this, man. It certainly was a juicy process. It was crazy for guys like you, Zach, for reporters, you know, because it did seem like Greg Penner, maybe this is a great thing, kept things really close to the chest. I mean, he played things very carefully here. And again, depending on which national NFL reporter you believe, Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport, Schefter would lead us to believe that this was handled pretty well by Greg Penner and the group.
Yeah, and Brady, really why it was so even more interesting and a little more confusing and a little more unnerving for everyone inside the building and outside the building was this is the complete opposite of how they handled the coaching search 1 year ago. Remember, they brought their social media team along. They were saying, okay, next stop, we're going to see Nathaniel Hackett. They showed every part of the process. And this year, with new ownership, it couldn't have been more different. They showed and reported and leaked nothing of the process. And so I think that the twists and turns weren't as intense behind the scenes, but there certainly were some twists and turns. But Brady, I've got to say, inside the building, people were dying because they weren't able to put out what was actually going on, what was actually happening. So again, the twists and turns weren't as intense, but from my understanding, the Broncos, when they set out, they had a top two, just like kind of you and I talked about for weeks. They had a top two. It was Jim Harbaugh and it was Sean Payton. They wanted to land one of those two guys. Then, obviously, the Broncos, they flew out to Michigan last week to talk with Jim Harbaugh, and that did put off Sean Payton, from my understanding. That's kind of why, from my understanding, this deal didn't get done last week with Sean Payton, as he said, whoa, you guys are going to go talk to Jim Harbaugh? Well, I'm going to go talk to the Arizona Cardinals and open up my options. So there was some drama that we kind of heard about last week. I think that was real drama. That actually did happen, and there was some back and forth there because of that. And for about 36 hours, the Broncos did put D'Amico Ryans as their top candidate because they thought they were just blown away with him in the interview. Once it was decided that he was going to have that first interview with the Texans and essentially go to the Texans, the Broncos went back to Sean Payton. And from my understanding, on Sunday was the last time that the Broncos had communication with D'Amico Ryans and his camp. They had moved on completely on Sunday afternoon, and it was all about getting the deal done with Sean Payton, and that's why next 48 hours, it took place on Tuesday. But from my understanding, there was no truth to the fact that the Broncos were waiting for D'Amico and then immediately flipped when he decided to go to the Texans. And honestly, not just from what I've told, but Sean Payton would not have liked that if they were waiting on D'Amico Ryan. So I do believe that on Sunday they had their sights set fully on Sean Payton.
Zach, was there – so in that process, before they made it official, you know, 36 hours, whatever, even last week a little bit, was there a time then where – I picture like at the carnival when you got the squirt guns and you're shooting it in there trying to get the little horses to race and stuff. So it seemed like Harbaugh was always the main guy, and then he backed out. Was there a time when D'Amico Ryans did pass Sean Payton as far as their favorite? Was it after the interview that maybe D'Amico Ryans at that point in time was their guy, kind of, at least who they wanted?
You know, so here's my understanding of what happened last week and where the juice of the drama started. So they interviewed 2 weeks ago. They interviewed Sean Payton for many, many hours. And then from that point on, the Broncos were in constant communication for the 2 weeks leading up to the trade being official. They were in constant communication with Sean Payton and his camp about the deal being done. But like I said, when they flew out then that following Monday to talk with Jim Harbaugh, that put Sean Payton off a little bit. And then in the middle of last week, they found out from Jim that he was going to officially stay at Michigan, although that word never really got out in public. He did let them know that that was going to be the case. And then after they knew that, they kind of put Sean Payton off a little bit. Then D'Amico Ryans did hop up as their number one because they weren't certain if Sean Payton was going to actually come back in the NFL with the way that week had unfolded. So, yes, for about a day or two, D'Amico Ryans was their number one. But from my understanding, by the weekend, Sean Payton had talked to the Cardinals, and he said, okay, let's get this done. And the Broncos said, you're our guy. Let's get it done.
Zach Stevens joining us, DNVR Broncos. Zach, there was that random report. I think it was a Washington Post reporter that put out something early last week that in the meeting, Sean Payton sensed a power grab and wasn't crazy about that, or a power struggle or something. Now, Payton came out, retweeted that, and said that was false. From what you're hearing, what was everybody on board with this? Was there any kind of power struggle? Because it's a group. We know Greg Penner's leading it, but it's a group. Was there any kind of disagreement as far as Sean Payton and giving up the picks and all that and bringing him in to be the next head coach?
Man, I mean, that was just the other wrinkle and the other piece of drama that was added to this whole part and entire thing. And from my understanding and just piecing things together, it wouldn't really make sense that there would be a power struggle between Greg Penner and Sean Payton. If there was, then Sean Payton, and I don't think there was, but if there was, then Sean Payton was completely in the wrong. I mean, a power struggle between anyone and the owner of a company, let alone a $4.6 billion company, the owner is going to be in charge there. And I don't believe that Greg Penner wants much to do with football operations. So I don't think that there was going to be a power struggle between Sean Payton, any potential coach, and Greg Penner. And especially, I think if the power struggle would have been between Greg or George Payton and Sean Payton, then it would have made a little more sense. But now I think with bringing Sean Payton in here, it's pretty clear who the top football guy is with the Broncos, and that is going to be Sean Payton, not George Payton.
I have so many questions about that, too. But I definitely want to talk about offensive and defensive coordinator, that situation, now that Vic Fangio is clearly out of the mix. But since you mentioned it, George Payton, is he long for the Broncos world, so to speak? Because it doesn't make a lot of sense if Sean Payton's going to be the football guy and he's going to be the guy that probably gets final say on who to draft and such. I don't know. Or maybe not. Maybe it's still George Payton. But that seems like a unique kind of dichotomy there. That one will be, I'll be curious to see how that one works out.
Yeah, it will be very interesting. And from my understanding right now, George Payton will be around through the draft. But then after that, anything could happen. Sean Payton has obviously been connected to many general managers in the past, many assistant general managers, and I'm sure at some point, whether it's after April's draft, whether it's next year, he is going to want to bring his own person in, whether that's to be an assistant general manager with George Payton or eventually take over George Payton. But Brady, as we talked about for this past month, this move of bringing in one of the top-tier guys, whether it was Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, is bad news for George Payton's long-term future. I don't think he's going anywhere right now. He'll get through the draft, but Sean Payton, I think, will quickly start making all of the personnel decisions.
All right, so final ones for you. Any idea as to what the coordinator positions look like, offensive, defensive, now that Vic's out officially? I don't know how serious it was, but he's out officially. Is Evero going to stick around? Is that going to be the guy, the defensive coordinator for the Broncos?
Yeah, Sean Payton and Evero are going to talk today to kind of talk about his future. I'm not sure if we'll officially know what his future is going to be like today because he still is in communication with a couple of teams about becoming their head coach. If the Broncos want him, he will be their defensive coordinator if he does not get another head coaching job. He is under contract with the Broncos. The Broncos do not have to let him leave for another team's defensive coordinator position. So if Sean Payton wants him, then he can have him. But and I think people just really get attached to the coordinators that are in town and have been in town and that have had success. If they don't keep Evero, I wouldn't be shocked because there's other good coordinators out there. You have Mike Zimmer, who could potentially join the Buffs, but also what I heard was he really wants to get back into the NFL. That would be an experienced coordinator to bring in. Brian Flores is still out there. Steve Wilks. So there's other good names that you could bring in. So in terms of if it's Evero or bust for Sean Payton, it certainly isn't, but he is going to talk with Sean today and kind of get an idea of what their future looks like.
Last one then, how about the offensive coordinator situation? What is that looking like?
Yeah, in all honesty, Brady, it doesn't matter that much because Sean Payton's
right.
Going to be the play caller. He's going to do everything with the offensive side. But a big connection, a guy that has a lot of connections with Sean Payton, is Joe Lombardi. He coached with the Saints with Sean Payton for over a decade. He was just fired by the Chargers after being their coordinator this past year. So that's a name to keep an eye on. And you could look at other guys, Joe Brady, potential name, and then probably just some connections with who he's coached with in the past with the Saints.
Zach, my man, we took you through the ringer there. There's a lot still to unpack, and we'll see. Maybe next week we can look at the roster a little bit, too, and see what makes sense going forward. Zach, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Let's do it, Brady. I can't wait. And maybe we'll actually, like you said, talk about something other than coaching.
Yes, I would. I mean, I'm ready for that. Let's talk about the roster and what that's going to look like. Nobody better, man. Appreciate you and all of your hard work and your coverage throughout this process. I know it probably made you want to pull your hair out at some point, but it's done, kind of. It's done for the most part, I think. Still got to sign that contract, though.
Exactly. As you know, Broncos are never done. Good, bad, or mediocre. Yeah. They are always the story.
Oh, man. All right, Zach. We'll talk to you soon, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider there. 49 minutes after 11 o'clock. Let's take a quick break. I'll get to my poll question, too. You know, which team are you more excited about? The Buffs with Prime? The Broncos with Payton? Jay Norvell in his second season? He's making the rounds all over. And then Ed Lamb, new guy, a new coach with the Bears, going locally, putting a, you know, certainly dedicating his approach to bringing on local players in the Colorado area. So Which one? Which one are you more excited about? We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Got our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week for you. This one's from Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. Sad Panda Stout. Pick up selections from Bertha Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-through or stop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our poll question of the day is up at thewholeshow.com. Which Colorado football team are you most excited about for next season? The Rams, the Buffs, the Broncos, or the Bears? Of course, never fails. I didn't put Air Force in there, so I got a lot of people commenting and saying, Air Force. I mean, there's nothing new. There's no shine right. I mean, yes, it's Troy Calhoun. It's Air Force. They're good. But is there anything like big-time newsworthy that's getting you jazzed up about Air Force football right now? It's going to be more of the same. They're going to run a triple option. They're going to run 87 times a game, and they're probably going to easily win 6 or 7 games. They'll look like world beaters for the first few weeks. They'll beat some tough teams. They'll run the table in the Mountain West, and then about halfway through the conference schedule, they'll drop some games that they should have won. Because, you know, they got down 14-3, and now you can't run anymore, so you got to try to throw. And so there you go. It's not in this mix. The Bears have a new head coach. The Broncos have a new head coach. The Buffs have a new head coach. And yes, CSU's in their second year with Jay Norvell, but we're still waiting to see Fort Air Raid take hold. We haven't seen it yet. So I'm sorry, but those four stories are more exciting to me. And I like Air Force football. I like watching a lot of running. I do. I'm into that stuff, man. But these four are way more exciting to me than Air Force's probable 7-win season next year. But it's the Rams winning this one so far. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And I'd like to see kind of just, I always like these kind of poll questions because it gives me a gauge of my listeners, too. I know I have a lot of Rams listeners, but there you go. Coach Prime's beating out the Broncos right now. Are you more excited? Like, I know you're not a Broncos fan. I know you're not a Buffs fan. But as far as just take yourself out of it and think of all the stuff that's been going on, you have this celebrity in primetime coming in. You're getting big-time recruits. And then you get this kind of other celebrity in Sean Payton, even more so now that he's on Fox, coming in. What should be more exciting?
It should be the Broncos, but I think it's the Buffs.
It's weird.
Because the Broncos had a bad year. And the coaching search was all over the place. CU was fired our coach. We got our coach. Let's go. We coming.
This is how freaky powerful primetime is. Angel, I know you haven't been here for an extremely long time, but the state of Colorado is Broncos country. And everything else was a far distant second. The fact that the Buffs, and I get the Rams getting more buzz on my page because I talk a lot of CSU, but the fact is you could probably quiz some people in Denver and they might tell you that primetime coming to Boulder is the story more so than Sean Payton, which is absolutely insane. The only other coach that would get, like if Nick Saban were to come to see you, then that would be bigger than Sean Payton. Not many names would be bigger than Sean Payton. Absolutely bizarre. Crazy world we live in. We've got Jerry Schimmel talking Bears with us next. Also, Ed Lamb will join the program in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.